I have just sold my world title for more drugs.
I remember it sucking a lot. All of our-
Anybody care what this guy says?
I'm thinking Harvey's brother.
Hey,
what?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages,
it is now time for
the Ring Crew.
What is your name?
Bubs, D-Rock, and
Matt.
You're the biggest piece of trash I've ever met in my life.
And our whipping boy.
Hunger! It's time!
And welcome, it's the best of the Ring Crew show.
Are you kidding me? That's a bit of an oxymoron, don't you think? I mean, hell, this should probably be the worst of the Ring Crew.
Oh, well, at least it'll make a nice coaster.
Everybody needs a nice coaster.
Exactly.
Well, especially a nice offensive coaster.
We've had lots of good moments and interviews on the show.
That's true.
We had Tracy Brooks.
Jerry Lynn. Jimmy Corderas.
Johnny Devine,
yeah.
Mark Eaton.
Yeah.
Bobby Clancy.
Of course.
Joe Doring.
Lots of big time stuff on this
We've
show.
We've had a lot of good guests on this show.
We have.
Surprisingly.
So, with all that being in mind, we now present to you the Worst of the Ring Crew Celebrity Coaster Volume 1. Enjoy.
Five times can already predict some of the shit they're going to do.
Well, look at the six man. Who didn't see that coming? Like, come on.
Soon they're just going to have John Cena changing in a phone booth before Raw starts going, this looks like a job for Super John.
Well, he's Farmer John, so he's going to change in an outhouse. The old style with the crescent moon on it.
Looks like Kamala's stomach.
Which is also an outhouse.
This looks like a job for Super Farmer.
Yeah.
When he fought Kamala, wasn't that at WrestleMania Undertaker?
Yes, sir.
When he spent 6 weeks building that outhouse.
Oh, I think it was Survivor Series, but either way, yeah.
Yeah, he built the casket, that's right. Yeah,
like an outhouse, essentially. Had the moon cut in the fucking door. I can just picture Undertaker with a lathe cutting out the fucking moon out of the door. This has to be perfect, Paul. That star is much too big. Can you get another piece of wood over here?
Get me some nails.
Paul, can you please plug in my power drill? Oh, yes!
To the Home Depot.
I'll drive.
Where can you park a hearse in here?
Oh, God.
Can you point us toward home improvement?
Cash or credit?
Do you guys accept the MasterCard here? Oh, yes, they do. I used it last week. Oh, yes.
Can I get air miles?
Oh, before I leave, do you guys, sir, sell urn polish hair?
Speaking of things that are a little gay, we stumbled across this little piece of audio we picked up not too long ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is like an exclusive to the Ring Crew Radio. Like,
Ring Crew Radio.
Yeah, we obtained this exclusive clip that it's from the 80s, I think.
Yep.
From the 80s.
In the mid-80s.
So without further ado, let's throw it to the clip.
Should we say what it is first?
Well,
no.
Well, okay.
Let him guess.
No, well, yeah, we'll let everyone out there guess.
All
let's
right.
just throw it to it.
Here he goes. This is the little piece of audio we found.
Ah, come on, Gino. Oh. Up, Gino. Come on, Gino. Come on, all the way to the top. Come on, Gino. Out of the Hulkster, man.
Hulk.
Come on, Gino. Come on. Come on, Gino.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a Coliseum Video exclusive.
That was Gene Okerlund's audition for the WWF.
The Ring Crew.
All my life, all I ever wanted was to be a wrestler. Fighting in the ring, winning that belt. And so I dreamed every night that I was the Undertaker. Smashing skulls in. Breaking arms.
Ringcrew.tk.
Hello, ladies.
And now, Hollywood casting calls with Val Venus.
Gone with the Wind, scene 43, take 4, action.
Frankly, my dear, I'll give a ram.
The Godfather, scene 12, take 4, and action.
I'm going to get in her, and she can't refuse.
Oh, no, that's not again. No, God. Wizard of Oz, scene 1, take 3, and action.
Toto, I got a feeling we're not in Candace.
Casablanca, scene 100, take 4, and action.
You're spoken at you, kid.
Oh my God! What? Cut! Now ring for sudden impact. Oh, crap. Action.
Go ahead. Make me spray.
I knew this was a...
This has been Celebrity Casting Call with Val Venus.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist and 13-time world heavyweight champion, the greatest wrestler in the world. And you're listening to The Ring Crew. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
And now, another classic Ring Crew moment.
If they might come, WrestleMania might come to Canada, and Owen Hart and the British Bulldog might actually be put in.
British
together.
Bulldog, yeah. Owen, probably not.
Yeah.
You don't think so? You really don't think so?
No.
Uh-oh.
I just don't agree with not putting Owen in. He has to go in somewhere.
It's not Vince's fault, though. It's not Vince would put Owen in tomorrow. The thing is, it's all Martha.
It's all Martha. Vince and Brett have no say. If Bret Hart and Vince could
the
say
the best part about that is that it wasn't even a sound drop, it was just bubs.
What did you not get about that statement? My God. It is all Martha. It's all up to her.
Mother.
This is not his mother. It's his wife. It's she owns all the rights.
Mike.
She owns all the rights to Owen Hart.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't. So you will listen to every damn word I have to say.
It's legacy.
Yeah, just here. Both of you take a microphone. This is getting funny.
Yeah,
now.
Okay. If
it's
Marta, okay, I'm
up
sorry.
To her. If he goes in, it has nothing to do with
Brett. You too, Lenny.
Owen is. Brett and Owen are brothers, okay?
Look
do you not think he has some
I
influence?
Influence, but he has no say. He cannot decide whether or not that Owen goes in there. It's all up to Martha. She owns all of Owen Hart's. She owns. It's up to her. It's her
where
right.
Where did you hear that?
It's from right. Both of their fucking books, you dipshit.
Oh my God. Nice comeback!
That was part of the sentence. She won exclusive rights to Owen Hart's likeness, trademark, whatever. She owns it.
Well, if she wants to do something for the fans, then I think she should man up or woman up and actually agree
God,
to
Derek,
put him in the fucking
mic?
Hall of Fame. Why do you have a fucking mic?
Oh!
Exactly.
This is fun for me.
So, okay. Wait. Bubs?
Yes.
Matt? Who won round one there, would you say?
I think I'm going to call that a draw because I want to see round two. And I think the reason Potter has a mic is because he just looks so natural with something phallic in front of his face.
Oh, Bubs, shit. Who won that one?
I don't know. I think I got to go with Pungo.
Oh!
He seemed more convicted to what he was saying.
What? So if me
Last Joe! I think it's a battle of Last Joes here. They're both Last Joe.
What? How can you award that to Punga?
Ladies and gentlemen,
so
I give you your
so
moron.
Think about it. It's
here, Mike.
My God,
that wasn't the argument. That wasn't the argument.
About the, what was the argument then? You obviously lost the argument already.
No, your argument was that Brett and Vince have the right to say whether or not Owen goes in the Hall of Fame. They have nothing. They have no say.
Brett has a say.
Brett does not have a say.
No, 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 wife? Do not listen to
okay,
that man.
Listen, I think
she
you should
won
go
the rights, you moron. Read their books. She won all rights to Owen Hart when she
but
sued.
What I'm saying,
it's all up to her.
But what I'm saying is if she wants the fans to appreciate, you know, Owen, I think, you know, more, I think he should go into the Hall of Fame and I think she should put him in.
It's great if you think until she does, he's not going in. End of story.
I know she's not going in because it's Owen's wife. Owen would go in.
No, I said him, you idiot.
No, you said she.
He's not.
Thank you. Good night. Let's move on, please.
Until she says yes,
I want to call preacher
he won't
now.
Go in, no matter how I much Brett or Vince wants him to. Therefore, I win. I win.
Okay, I think... Wait, stay tuned to the ring.
I don't accept your apologies. God.
Oh, round three.
That was too much fun.
I'm stupid.
We should
you're
use
smart.
A punch-up music
I was
to
go wrong, you were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good-looking. I'm not attractive.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Download new and previous episodes at www.recrew.tk or on the Recrew Wrestling Show Facebook site.
This is Irish Bobby Clancy, and when I'm not snuggling up to bed with Potter or smoking a spliff with Bubs, I'm listening to the Wrestling Crew. Wrestling, non-stop talk, action. Tune in every day, any day, the Wrestling Crew.
Who's the Wrestling Crew? That's another show.
Fuck! When I don't have Potter... This is Irish Bobby Clancy, and if I'm not bouncing Potter on my knee, and I'm not smoking a spliff with Bubs, I'm tuning in to the Wrestling Crew.
Fuck!
This is Irish Bobby Clancy, and you're listening to the Ring Crew.
And on the line list, we have, well, many consider her the original Knockout. I gotta say I do, too. And also a Playboy Playmate. First time ever on the Ring Crew for, well, pretty much either one of those. Please welcome to the show, Tracy Brooks. How you doing, Tracy?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Not too bad. Not too bad. So, first of all, got to give you a belated congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you.
Obviously, we haven't talked to you since. How's married life treating you?
It's good. Very good. Thank you. It's actually, God, it's almost been 8 months now.
Oh, wow.
8 months? 7 months. Yeah. Wow. Time flies.
It sure does. But, well, I hope that's going really well for you then.
It is.
Outstanding.
He's actually at work right now making money.
Nice. So a lot of people, you know you, of course, from TNA, and they know you from around here in Border City Wrestling from way back in the day.
Oh, God, don't say way back.
Well, way back for me, I guess. We'll just say back. 2007, the Genesis pay-per-view, you fainted from heat exhaustion, and there was some controversy that arose because many reports came out that it was basically all staged by Vince Russo. Can you clear any of that up?
Yeah, it wasn't Vince's idea. It was, yeah, I didn't pass out. It was fake.
Yeah.
But I did work a lot of people, so which I was quite proud of myself.
Nice.
I honestly don't really remember much of that. I just remember being kind of stupid because... it took away from the finish of, I know it was Robert Roode and Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
And it just kind of took away the finish. And I remember I was supposed to wrestle the next day, and they weren't going to let me because they were trying to work the workers, so they weren't going to actually let me wrestle the next day. And I was really pissed off because Gail Kim and I had a match the next day. So they're trying to tell people, like, only a couple people knew, so they're the people that were in creative were trying to say, well, you can't work, you're injured, because people thought I actually passed out. Mm. And I was pissed off, because I'm like, it's a work, I didn't faint, I want to wrestle tomorrow. Because that was when Gail and I were trying to get the women's division started.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that wasn't Vince's idea. I can't remember whose idea it was, but I know it wasn't Vince's.
It seems like he becomes the scapegoat pretty much if there's any sort of a work shoot idea that doesn't necessarily go right.
Well, yeah, it's always Vince, screw you, Vince, whatever, but he's not the only one, you know.
Which, of course, brings us up to last year, and, well, I think many of our listeners are big fans of it, your Playboy spread.
Mm-hmm. I hate that word, spread.
Your Playboy shoot layout.
Photo shoot, yeah. Layout.
Okay, there you go. Perfect. How did that come about? Like, how did they contact you? Was this all done through TNA, or did they contact you directly?
Nope, TNA had nothing to do with it. Oh, wow. My agent that does my eBay store and gets me into conventions and bookings and stuff like that, he actually manages a couple of the old Playboy, a couple of Hef's old girlfriends, actually, too. And he's the one that they contacted him about me. Mm-hmm. And we actually brought it to TNA. We brought it to Dixie Carter saying, because WWE isn't doing it anymore because they're PG.
Yeah.
We should get TNA. So I was going to be the first girl, and let's just say things got really effed up.
Yeah.
The contract, Dixie signed it, or TNA signed it, I signed it, and Playboy signed it, and it was be the celebrity pictorial in the magazine. And just an option issue for the cover, but Hefner still picks it, and usually celebrities don't get the cover.
Yeah.
So I was never guaranteed the cover like some people think. And when Farrah Fawcett passed away, they had all the magazines published up into mine, which was supposed to be November 2009.
Yeah.
So they ended up bumping me for Farrah Fawcett, which in the end of the day, Farrah Fawcett's a sex icon.
Yeah.
So to get bumped to Farrah Fawcett for, you know, to get bumped from a sex icon, TNA knockout, sex icon, yeah. TNA knockout, who are you going to put in?
Exactly.
So that's where everyone's like, oh, you got bumped. I'm like, I didn't actually get bumped, so, but I ended up being in cyber. Instead of, they could have actually completely, totally just got rid of the whole photo shoot, but they actually ended up, I shot it in May for 3 days in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. and they actually put it in Cyber Club, which actually ended up being better because magazines, Every magazine isn't doing well.
Yeah.
Not doing well, it's gone downhill. How many wrestling magazines have closed?
Yeah.
So Playboy has actually gone from, I don't know how many million down to, I don't even know how many, but their .com is 6 million subscribers a year, or a month. So they actually, putting me in .com was actually a better advertisement for TNA.
Oh, that's good.
It just that because they got a lot of course, everyone has their own scenario of what happened, but it just wasn't passed down to the right authorities.
Yeah.
There was kind of a lack of communication because Playboy still advertised me to be in, I was actually still in the magazine.
Okay.
There's a huge TNA advertisement that actually said to come see me in Irvine, California at Bound for Glory, which TNA never brought me to. So I think that kind of had bad feelings towards TNA and paper and Playboy.
Yeah.
But again, just too many, Not enough people involved, or
yeah. I mean, that was the general consensus. I mean, you heard 50-50 accounts. You always heard of 50-50 was the Farrah Fawcett thing, and then a lot of people thought, well, she's got this layout coming out in Playboy, and yet they're not putting her on TV enough. And it just seemed like,
well, the funny thing is, everyone's like, it was fair or not. Well, if you look in the magazine, it was Farrah Fawcett in the magazine.
Yeah.
So. And it's in the month I was supposed to be in, so obviously it was Farrah that I got bumped for.
Yeah.
The fact that everyone's like, oh, you got bumped for Marge Simpson, well, Farrah Fawcett did too. And I was never promised the magazine the cover.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, I wasn't on TV, and there ended up, it was just lack of communication between the top of TNA down, all the way down to creative, and with me, and with Playboy, and it just sucks because I hope it didn't ruin the chances of TNA and Playboy working together again, because it's a huge market, and it's a huge, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Publicity.
Now, did you since you've done the shoot, have you been able to? Did you go to the Playboy Mansion at all? Did you meet Hugh?
No, we only did at Santa Monica in California. I was there for 3 days, and we were shooting. We shot 12 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's what everyone's like. It wasn't like it was like a one, you know, couple-hour shot. It was a three-day shot being flown in by them. It was incredible. It was, like, the most amazing thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, wow. So, no doubt.
Like, I always say I never want to do another photo shoot in my life. I'll just be disappointed.
But, of course, if Playboy calls, you're right back there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. They're incredible. They're such a well-oiled machine, and they're amazing. And it was funny, too, because they sent me the numbers after, and I ended up having 95 million hits.
Wow.
So, which at the end of the day ended up being a lot better for TNA, because there was, I got to publicize TNA with a T-shirt and the written articles and stuff like that, so... And then it ended up being a better thing for me. And the check still cleared, so.
There you go. That's the bottom
That's
line
all, that matters.
All the time. You got anything now that you want to plug, you want to promote at all?
Yes, my eBay store. It's Tracy Brooks, direct to you.
Okay.
And you can go buy my Playboy pictures, event worn gear, anything.
Okay.
And also my Twitter is The Tracy Brooks.
We'll be sure to throw some links to that up on our site and on our Facebook group as well for you. Well, thank you very much, Tracy. It's been an honor having you, and hopefully we can do this again down the road sometime.
Awesome. Take care of yourself. Thanks, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Tracy.
I'm going to ruin this magazine when I get home.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dimebag Matt, and I'm here with a special interview. We've managed to, thanks to our newly reformed ring crew and our wonderful tech support actually being back online,
Yay!
We've done something that WWE could never do. We rebuilt the laptop. So right here live in our studio, we have a very special guest, the Raw General Manager.
Yay!
The GM is here.
And we couldn't be happier.
Well, enough is enough. And it's time for a change.
So, anonymous general manager, how did you get into the wrestling business?
If I told you, I would have to kill you. You better recognize.
Well, I'm kind of wondering here because Edge managed to destroy your laptop on Monday. Are there a set number of laptops?
I've been built five times. Sorry, I had a glitch. Five times.
General Manager, we'd like to know, are there going to be any repercussions to Edge for what he did to you on Monday night?
It doesn't matter who challenges my authority. They will all pay, be it Edge, Jericho, Orton. It doesn't matter. Who's next?
You know, that seems a little unfair, General Manager. It seems like you've gone a little bit berserk.
Perhaps you are right. Huss.
So, General Manager, I got a question. Of all the people that are employed by World Wrestling Entertainment, why did you choose to have Michael Cole deliver your messages?
Why don't you ask him?
Well, at least you didn't say it was the vintage thing to do.
That would be the stupidest thing there ever is, ever was, or ever will be.
You know what? I gotta be honest, General Manager. This has to be one of the dumbest gimmicks I've ever seen. An anonymous General Manager coming through a laptop? That's ridiculous.
What can I say? Don't hate the player, hate the game. Hogan, I'm talking about you, nigga.
So what makes you think that you can get away with just treating all of these wrestlers like crap? It seems like you think there will be, you know, no one who's going to stand up to you.
Because I am the master and the ruler of the world, you will kneel before my squeegee.
General Manager, I've got to ask you, this whole Nexus thing, it really seemed like they were going to run roughshod over the entire Raw roster, and now they just don't have a leg to stand on. What do you think of that?
It's not my fault. Don't blame me. But if I could be serious for a moment, it's not my fault that they are a bunch of... It's just the fact that they lack toothless aggression. Woo.
So, general manager, let's be serious, like you said. What's your overall opinion of your competition in Total Nonstop Action Wrestling?
Well, the word competition, I don't think really applies here. I mean, you know, when you're walking on the lawn and you step in a pile of dog shit and it kind of annoys you and you have to scrape it off your shoe and then you have to bring the shoe into the house and rinse it off and scrub it clean. Then you have to throw the rag into the laundry and clean that as well. But is it really competition for what you're doing the rest of the day? I don't think so. Bang, bang.
Now, I will have to ask you about your actual competition, SmackDown, and one of their talents. Recently, Matt Hardy's been going on a bit of a tirade talking about how he wants to be released, he wants to move on in his career, and he seems a little out of sorts. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, if you do the crime, you have to do the time. And I think he just wants to keep his brother company in the cell block, where the one-man gang will be their prison guard. Or maybe there's a little more going on between those two. Maybe they'll enjoy the cell time alone together. Who knows? Either way, I think they just sold their bird dog for more drugs. V1.
Well, now we'd love to get your opinions on the individuals that make up the ring crew. So first I was wondering about the genetic jackhammer, the man with testicles the size of grapefruits himself, Bubs McGee.
Well, what is there to say about the man who carries the show? I mean, I always listen. It's streamed right into my external port, so to speak. And what can I say? The sound of Bub's voice really stiffens out my hard drive from a floppy. Testify.
So what do you think about the Buff Daddy himself, D-Rock?
D-Rock is one smooth motherfucker. Pimping ain't easy.
Well, that would definitely explain why he's been away so long in that new cane and hat combo, which does look fly, by the way.
Thank you.
So what do you think of the African Dream, Harlem's favorite son, Punga?
What can I say about Punga? Never have I seen a man who enjoys taking the total package so much.
And last but not least, what do you think of me, the man who makes adorable Adrian Adonis look like a marathon runner, Dimebag Matt?
Well, you're a hell of a guy, but I really think you need the special blow-away diet from Buddy Rose so you don't look like you're servicing truckers like a lot lizard. Oh, what a rush.
On behalf of the ring crew, I'm not sure where Bubs disappeared to. He would have enjoyed this. But on behalf of the ring crew, I would like to thank you for appearing on our show, and do you have any closing comments?
Remember, when you're general manager, you're general manager for life. And you will never, ever forget the name of...
And now, another classic Ring Crew moment.
WWE held a couple of shows in Tampa and Orlando. One of these we'll talk about a little later. Bubs' face is getting red in anticipation already.
And my bowels are getting clenched.
Indeed. And but while they were there, WWE held a little party at the hotel right across the street from the hotel where the TNA guys regularly stay when they're in town. And apparently everyone wanted to visit each other, but everyone was afraid they were going to get heat. So Dixie Carter apparently led the troop of TNA guys, said, "No, you won't get heat. Come with me. We're all going to go to the WWE party." And it was a social visit. Carter met some of the WWE wrestlers for the very first time.
Penis party's got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho. This penis party's got to go. Hey, hey. Ho, ho.
This... Apparently the knockouts.
Well timed.
It's the biggest sausage fest on earth.
It's the International House of Sausage.
Oh my god. Oh god.
It stinks like sex in here.
Anyway, go on with your story.
Oh,
boy.
part. This wins.
He said,
"I can't even talk." It looks like a big red tomato over here right now. Look at this. Oh, you can't look at it, but anyway.
My favorite part.
For once, my cat is looking around everyone going, holy fuck, what's wrong with you guys?
I can't breathe.
All right, go to the next
one. I'm out of news. Zop you now, Derek.
Okay.
All right, go.
Okay. Is there anything of nitrous open up down here?
Oh, man.
Meanwhile, back on the Ring Crew show.
Oh, fuck.
I want to hear what Jeff had to say.
My favorite part was where Bubbles said that was the knockouts. I don't know why I find that so funny.
Well, can't you just pitch them all like Tara and Taylor Wilde just marching away across the street singing that clap, and as they're going, Dixie Carter leading the church. Plus he's Rhino and the Dudleys and Steiner walking behind him.
Download new and previous episodes at www.recrew.tk or on the Recrew Wrestling Show Facebook site.
All right, this is the Whole Reference Show, Jeffrey Scott. And when I'm not ignoring the Ring Crew at shows, I'm listening to 15 hours of Ring Crew Radio here on ringcrew.tk.
He is a legend in the business. He is one of the well-known, respected athletes in the business. He is the current WWE Champion's father, Johnny Fabulous, Mr. John Cena Sr. How you doing today, sir?
I am doing fabulous. And how about yourself, my friend?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. We're glad to have you on the show. So right now you are backstage at SmackDown in Boston, is that correct?
I'm here with this crazy crowd. Let me tell you, it's like a feeding frenzy.
Yeah, a bodyguard may be in order here because I was cruising on fabulousproductions.com and you were having a little trouble with JBL there as well.
Uh-oh.
You know, you guys seem to dig up all the good dirt. I mean, all the shit just comes out of your mouth.
That's the Ring Crew.
JBL and I have a little bit of heat together. He's trying to take over the my production, the Fabulous World of Women's Wrestling. He's also trying to take over my spot at Boston Wrestling, Millennium Wrestling Federation, but all part of the storyline. I'm sure you got to realize that I'm really not the president. It's just that the storyline there, but we're having a lot of fun with him. I'll tell you what, I've got to get that tall Texan, and there's nothing he can do. He can take his little old energy drink, as he calls it, which to me is nothing more than a purple-colored monkey, whatever you find in the zoo stuff, in a bottle, and I don't know if it gives you any energy or not, but I know, as Jamie D said, she took a bottle and gave her gas.
Any final plugs you want to put out there?
No, the only thing I can say is this. That's all the young men and women in this business.
Now hang up the phone.
Work hard,
right?
Train hard. Believe in what you are and who you are.
Right?
It's a tough road. But if you climb the mountain, when you get to the top, it's worth all the sacrifice and everything you did to get there. And you know what? A lot of young men and this women feel that if you can't do it in 2 years, then hang it up. A lot of these men and women have taken 5 years to get where they're going and some
My
longer.
God,
so
you ever
persistence.
Talking?
The main thing I say to all these young folks in this business is respect the business. That's something that's gone. And understand the ring psychology and have fun. Whatever you do, go out there, be safe, and have fun.
It's MWF. It's fabulousproductions.com. Johnny Fabulous, a.k.a. John Cena Sr., thanks a lot, and we look forward to seeing you down the road and seeing you with the one and only Jamie D here.
I look forward to it, Jamie D. I can't wait, because we're going to kick the proverbial butt.
It will be a lot of fun with the Cena Sr., and I'll talk to you soon, and thanks so much for being on with us.
Love you guys. Take care. Have a great night. God bless.
Take care. Thanks, sir, and have fun at SmackDown tonight.
All right. Bye-bye.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
The Ring Crew.
They don't care for most things.
Ringcrew.tk.
This is CNN. We're here at the 2010 primaries for the upcoming elections with Republican candidate Paul Bearer and Democratic Representative Brother Love. Gentlemen, what are your feelings on this upcoming election? What do you feel the main topic of interest is?
Well, one of the main things is the death of the economy. The only thing that is inevitable is death, but unfortunately with Obama, it's also the taxes.
Sir, I must remind you, this is a family-friendly show. Please try not to focus on death.
Sorry, it's what I do. If I could interject just for a minute here, I think that President Obama and the Democrats have spread the love throughout the country and the economy. In fact, some people love the freedom that they have to not live in their own home, but to be free roaming on the street corners and boxes and places they choose to dwell. But the Democrats are for gay marriage! But that's okay, because it's spreading love. But isn't it spreading the butt cheeks as well?
Gentlemen, if we could get back on topic here.
Oh, yes.
One of the big things seeming to concern your constituents is Medicare. Where do you stand on this issue?
Well, I don't believe that we actually need Medicare. I mean, we are a little overpopulated. And given the business that I'm in, well, you know. But you see, with all the love being spread across the land, this is also another reason why we believe that birth control should be a freedom of choice and not something mandated by the government. What are you talking about? But it shouldn't be her right to choose. The death of the unborn fetuses is even something I'm against. You have to be alive for me to marry them.
Gentlemen, I realize that the only way either one of you can get laid is if we completely remove their right to choose, but let's get back on topic. So, gentlemen, on your final thoughts on this matter. What do you think of the current president of the United States of America, Barack Obama?
Well, as you know, I am a Republican, and I can see by looking at my opponent, he never liked Bush. But I love Bush, and I do not like this president, because he's committing the death of our country, and that's my job. Well, I love Barack Obama, even though he's a dumb...
That's the sound of the police! That's the sound of the beast! That's the sound of the police! That's the sound of the beast! That's the sound of the police! That's the sound of the beast! That's the sound of the police!
And can you believe it? We got him.
We did it.
The man with the hour. The man with the power.
Too sweet to be sour.
The one and only superstar Billy Graham. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you very good. About you guys, I'm doing well. I'm doing fine, actually. And I appreciate you inviting me on the show. And looking forward to answering some questions. Nothing's off limits.
Do you still watch fairly regularly today?
No, I don't really. I don't watch really at all. I will be watching with Jamie when Jamie gets her chance, and I'll be watching her, of course. But I find it now, to be perfectly honest, I find it to be almost moronic and juvenile. And every match has to have a storyline and. There's so many scripts. I'll never forget. I told the story the other day, and Jamie might have heard it on the on Jimmy Valiant's show, that at SummerSlam here in Phoenix on my reunion, I haven't seen Vince in 15 years. We had a 15-year estrangement, and we finally made up, and it was here in Phoenix at SummerSlam about 4 years ago. And at that time, remember the name, remember the wrestler Heidenreich?
Yes.
Yeah, Heidenreich. And I was sitting in the cantina in the cafeteria area and waiting to see Venice, and they were taping it. It was my comeback. I was meeting everybody for the first time, and Goldberg and Kurt Angle and all of this big it was a big deal. You know, it was my the first time in 15 years that I'd been back to the WWE. And I see this guy over in a corner, and he keeps looking at me, and then he looks down at his paper, and then he looks back over at me, and I can tell he wants to come over and say something, but he's intensely reading this piece of paper. So finally, it is Heidenreich. So finally he comes over, and he says, "Superstar, I have to come over and meet you. I'm sorry." He said, "Man, I got this script. They want me to memorize this script." He said, I gotta memorize this script, man. He said, "But I had to stop and come over and introduce you. I've been wanting to meet you for so many years, da 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 da." But here's a guy who had to memorize a script, hours. I've been backstage, man. I've seen guys all over the building with papers in their hand trying to memorize this stuff, you know. So I would find fault. I would find a huge fault with the overdoing of the memorizations of scripting.
And you know, as fans, as everybody here, that I think that's what we see as the biggest problem is nothing comes from the heart anymore. Nothing's ad-libbed. It just seems so forced and so strained.
Yeah, yes. I don't disagree with sitting a wrestler down and saying, "Look, you're going to have a match with Heidenreich, you're going to wrestle Kurt Angle, and we're going to do a little program here with you guys, and here's what we would like you to do. This is the way we're going to go with you two guys, you know, and let's start thinking some stuff." I don't fault input from the folks above you whatsoever, but to actually just have the writers just give you the word for word. And, you know, it's hard. You know, hey, I became very good friends with Lita. Lita and I really bonded. We're very, 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 very good friends. Matter of fact, we were so close, she actually allowed me to take a picture of Punk tattooed on the inside of her lip.
Yeah, I saw that
picture. I'm going to do this for you, Superstar. The inside of her bottom lip is tattooed Punk. So I have a picture of, I think I may have showed it to Jamie. I don't know, on one of my emails to Jamie. But so Lita and I were very close, and it always drove her crazy. She says, she used to tell me, she said, "They expect me to be an actress, you know." And she was going through that thing with Kane and the baby and all this drama and all these scripts, you know. So that is a really overdone part of the program.
I think when they brought necrophilia into the angle, that was just a little too much for me.
And now Punga presents Gay Moments in Wrestling. Jake the Snake Roberts has a special surprise for The Undertaker and gives the Ultimate Warrior a rigorous workout.
"I will jerk and I will spit it.
Oh, Mr. Roberts, you're talking about your snake, aren't you? I've always had my suspicions about you."
"The way I see it, The Undertaker at this moment has his hands very full to release. Release. I'm sure you got an uneasy feeling. You maybe even feel a little sick right now. A little uneasiness in the stomach, but lay down and you'll relax and accept it, man. As ugly as it feels, as bad as it smells, release it. Release it. Come on, open up, brother, and let the snake in. Come on, now lay down. Lay down, my man. Lay down, relax. Breathe through it. Breathe. Come on, breathe. We gotta shut this thing, my man. We gotta shut it. Come on, come on. Easy. Hey, go for what you want, man. Go for what you want. Trust me. Lay down. Trust me. Trust me. Lay down. Go on. Lay down. Lay down, warrior. Lay down. Lay down. Go nice and easy. Easy. It's nice.
nice and slow, see? Nice and slow. Yeah, first piece of the puzzle, my man. Just the first piece. The first one. And you've got to sit back and live with it. There. Relax. Quit fighting it. Breathe easy, my man. Trust me. And all I believe, it's there. What you expected? Oh, it's not what the doctor ordered. No. Is the heart beating a little faster? Is your blood pumping, warrior? Take care of yourself. Relax, I've told you. Getting a little sick now, huh? It's part of it. The venom racing through your body. Turn it on now, big man. Come on. Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Oh,
huh? Come on, don't you give up. No, it's not over yet. Come on, warrior. Fight all you want. Fight all you want, warrior. There's nothing left to give me, is there? Drop, warrior. Drop like the common man that you are. Oh, yeah. That's what happens to all good men. You come.
It's okay to be gay. Let's rejoice with the boys in the gay ring.
And now, the Ring Crew presents the continuing adventures of Cannibal Kirk's Balls. And now, live from the Taint of Ontario, Toronto, here's Cannibal Kirk.
Follow the bouncing ball.
Hey, Potter.
Hey, Canny.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
What the fuck's this?
So you joined the wrestling school here?
As of Friday, I will be officially a member.
He's been down here a year and a half, and now he makes it official. I don't get it.
That's had to cut some baggage.
Right. But, you can ask Legacy, an intricate part of becoming a professional wrestler is putting up with getting ripped, right? All right. Because you made the foolish mistake of giving me the keys to your apartment, sir.
I did.
Do you remember doing that, sir?
I did, yeah.
Okay, within the first 20 minutes of being there with a small audience, Bob included in this audience, I decided to pull a rib on you, sir.
You did.
And over the next 9 weeks, we will all enjoy different segments of this rib. Are we ready for the first segment of this rib?
Okay.
Okay. So, I placed my very, very, very sweaty testicles on 9 objects in your apartment. Rub them. Full on, rub them. So, each week for the next 9 weeks, I will tell you one item I did rub my testicles on, and 2 items I didn't.
Well, okay. If you rubbed them on my bed or my pillow or anything like that, then I've already gotten back at you because that day you left, I washed all my sheets just to be sure.
Okay, well, I'm here to tell you that today's 2 items are not the pillow or the bed.
But your cat.
You should know who you're dealing with. It's not going to be
today,
that obvious.
Number one item that I rub my testicles on. Are you ready, boys and girls?
Let's do it.
Is it?
The gray controller keypad of his N64. That's right. Hold on. Let me tell you. I was out drinking the night before, hungover all day, worked at a wrestling show up disgustingly nasty, like I hadn't had a shower in at least 36 hours. Okay, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm a little heavy.
Yeah. That's why you call the yellow controller.
So the first rub was on the N64 controller.
Does Bubs know these 9 locations?
Pardon?
Does Bubs know these 9 locations? He got a big smile on his face.
No, Bubs does not know all of the 9. But they are written down on a list.
Potter's going to go home and sniff his N64 controller.
No, I'm going to go home and throw it out, burn it.
Why do you think he called for the other one?
Do you remember playing Perfect Dark with us that night?
Yeah, I do. Me, you, and Al Snow.
Yeah, jackass. Guess he got stuck with a gray controller.
he lunged for that controller like he instinctively
knew.
Is
that why your Al Snow friend there didn't want to play?
Yeah. And that's why I called dibs on the yellow controller.
All right. I just thought you had a fondness for bananas.
No. Option number one. Did I use my extremely large scrotum sack to open or close the door? So number one is, did I use my balls on his doorknob?
Little knob on knob action.
Nice. You're like the nutsack Riddler.
It may have happened. We don't know. Okay, there's one. Did I rub my scrotum on his Mr. Perfect doll?
You guys got a brand new one, by the way.
Mr. Not So Perfect.
Not So Perfect. Okay.
Touché, my friend.
Thank you. Did I or did I not rub my nuts on his flashlight that he uses to keep the boogeyman away at night? Because you know it's his first time living out of his mom's house.
Were you making ball shadow puppets with it?
Well, you know, maybe. We don't know. We're just going to have to see, right?
The Washington Monument.
The third house in Whoville. All right. It did look like a cock. It was really weird. All right. Okay, so what did we go through so far? The
doorknob.
The doorknob.
Yep, Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect and flashlight.
The flashlight.
Yep.
The enter key on his laptop. All right.
Lord knows he won't ever use that.
Never.
At least you could pick something like Z that he would touch every day, not the enter key.
I think he'd rather have your balls in his backspace.
All right, and number five.
And number five would be... what was it? Okay. Top drawer to his dresser. Yeah.
Always try to get in Potter's drawers, eh?
Yeah. With your balls. All about putting my balls on Potter's drawers. Thank you.
Well, you do have a fondness for knobby things. So I am thinking the doorknob, but considering how many times people have said Mr. Perfect action figure and touching your testicles, I'm also thinking that. I don't think I had the computer back when you were at my house, and you already told me you didn't rub it on anything in my bed. So it's not the bed. I'm definitely saying it's not the computer.
He's putting a lot of thought into this.
So I'm stuck between the doorknob and Mr. Perfect.
And the flashlight.
I'm not even going to think the flashlight. I mean, it's just... No. It's down to Mr. Perfect, the doorknob, and my final answer is the Mr. Perfect action figure.
Very good. Mr. Perfect action figure.
Hey.
Yes, indeed. I give that man some views.
It's now been on Cannibal's Nuts and Punga's Bum. So.
Oh, wow, look at that. Okay, well, interestingly enough, Mr. Potter, I also rub my testicles on your flashlight.
Oh, that's a two-fold.
And the cute thing about that was, that night you also misplaced your pussy. Do you remember when you misplaced your pussy? Your cat ran outside?
My cat got out, yeah.
Yes, and what did we get you to go and grab to try to find your cat?
Flashlight. Yeah, I couldn't find it, though.
That's right. Yes. Thank you. Okay. All right. So onward and upward.
I can't wait till next week when we find out what part of Potter's body you rubbed your balls on.
Thank you very much for setting it up, sir. Potter, do you think it is possible that in my staying there, I've been able to rub my balls on your face or rub my balls in your left ear? What do you think?
No, because my door was locked. Possible? My door was locked.
Really? So neither one of those things are possible. How much are you willing to bet on it?
Well, my door was locked. How could you get in there and rub your balls on me?
How much are you willing to bet on it? Come on. Will you bet me alone in your apartment for another half an hour on you thinking that I didn't put my balls on your face or in your left ear?
I'll tell you what, Cannibal. I'll bet that half bottle of Newfie Screech I got there in my freezer that I'm never going to drink.
Oh, sold. All right. Are you ready? Because I'm thirsty. I did place my balls on your face. You know your ID badge that you have to use for work?
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Balls right in the face. And so, like, when you're going to work and you want to listen to music or this podcast, what types of things would you have to use?
I guess my headphones, my iPod.
Yes, that's right. Your left earbud was next to my butthole.
Well, he's just giving it all up this week.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm giving them too. Well, it's been a little while, right? We still got.
It's
still
just
got
like
a couple
Cannibal's
more.
Last date. He's just giving it all up.
1, 2, 3.
Former WWE/WWF referee, a man we have on the line with us right now, Jimmy Corderas. How's it going, Jim?
Good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Great. Been around now for over 20 years doing the refereeing job. You've refereed, you know, from the lowest of the low guys to the top of the card. Do you have any matches in particular that stick out more than others that you referee? Like any particular highlights?
WrestleMania 24, Edge versus Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one really stands out in my mind. That was the first main event I ever got to referee at WrestleMania.
Oh, wow.
So, There was a SmackDown match, actually, a few years ago between Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle, which from a referee standpoint, I thought was one of my better matches, but because I'm my own worst critic whenever I watch anything back. So,
yeah.
And probably the Eddie Guerrero tribute show, mm-hmm. With Triple H versus Chris Benoit, which I know Chris Benoit apparently is a bad word now, but
yeah, unfortunately,
he was in the match. What could I say?
For one, I don't really know what the Ring Crew is all about anyways. I know it's just a bunch of nerds to get together, play video games, and talk about wrestling. And for two, like, why would I rip on a bunch of dudes that I haven't seen in a long, long time? It's been a couple weeks. I don't really want to rip on you, but I will tell you this. I am a cookie-eating champion. You are not. I am also going to kick your ass when I see you next. You're going to get it. Hey man, this is Tyson Dukes, and I love the Ring Crew.
All right, on the line, as we promised, he is the new effing show. He's wrestled in ECW, WCW, WWE, Ring of Honor, and all over the world. He is Mr. Jerry Lynn. How's it going, Jerry?
Hey, guys. Great.
You forgot BC. You forgot BCW.
Storm would put it, I'm the old effing show.
See, another good thing that came out of ECW is the debut of Jerry Lynn in a video game and an action figure.
Oh, what a rib, huh? Get this. Find out, someone says, hey, you're on the cover of the video game. I'm like, oh, right. You know, I get to be in one, get to be on the cover, and I look at the cover, and it's me cowering in fear as Rob's kicking a chair through my skull. And then the action figure... You know, everyone else has cool weapons like a garbage can or a, you know, a 2x4 or something like that.
You have a guitar.
I have an electric guitar. How often do you see an electric guitar even in a Fans Bring the Weapons match?
They just remodeled the Van Hammer figure.
Yeah. At least it could have been an acoustic guitar. You see a lot of those getting busted over people's heads. Oh, and other people have the cool movements like kicking someone or twisting at the waist and throwing a punch or something. What do I get? The headbutt motion, which is basically squeeze the legs together and you bend over like someone's about to give it to you up the ass. You know? What a rib. Oof.
Oh, fuck.
Story of my life. I always
always bend it over. Again. Even your doll bends over. Oh, fuck.
Oh, he's being jobbed out.
Now it was superstar head bobbing action.
Yeah.
You just put the Pat Patterson figure in front of it.
Either or, just use your sick imagination.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Welcome to the Ring Crew.
So now, when you get in toward the end of ECW, like when did you know that you basically it was over? And then what was it like the last few TVs and the last pay-per-view?
Oh, you know, morale was down, and you know, we were all so far behind in pay, we just stuck in there because we believed in the product and we'd hope we'd see that money back. You know, it was just, I guess, pretty much that last pay-per-view, you know, pretty much knew it was done. But I mean, everyone wonders, I mean, I didn't even want to show up, and everyone wonders what was with the new look. I had like the the football pants or whatever, biker pants type things on. And I said, well, what the deal was, about a week out, I found out that we were only getting half our pay that week that set that show. So I didn't even want to go. I was just livid. I was like, you know, we've been fucked out of enough money. Now we're going to get fucked again. And, you know, it's just getting ridiculous. And so I just didn't want to go so bad that I forgot to pack my tights. And I had to wear the Musketeers workout pants. And they were too big around the waist, so I don't know if you can see it. If you look closely, I had to use black electrical tape to keep them up.
Oh, my
but
God.
That's how it was. It was like I didn't even want to show up so bad that I did. I forgot to pack my tights.
You still got any sort of relationship with Paul Heyman? You ever talk to him anymore, or is it hard feelings?
No. You know, I had hard feelings for, you know, a few years there, but finally just, you know, we talked, and I even told him, I said, you know, Paul, I was really pissed off, and I buried you a lot in a lot of interviews and stuff, and I said, I was just very angry back then, and I just apologized and said, you know, I'm done. I didn't just, you know, that... I just didn't want to run around with that much hatred and, you know,
now,
burning me up inside.
Did he ever
know?
Apologize to you in return for not paying you?
I don't know. You know, it really wasn't all his fault. I mean, it was just the way things happened. You know, every time, you know, things would get on a roll and stuff, here comes WCW or WWE doing a talent raid. So he had to lock people in with decent money so they wouldn't jump. And that just kind of, and then the company was just, you know, wasn't enough money coming in to cover all those contracts. So, what do you do?
Well, the whole thing is we were planning on having a Night of Extreme 2, and your name was definitely brought up. So, if we end up doing that show, hell, even if we don't, even if we just want to fly up here to hang out and laugh and make fun of Holly and Harvey and Gutter and everybody.
Gutter. It smells like gasoline. Is that how it goes?
It's so funny because I talked to CK3 today, and he said, ask Jerry Lynn if he remembers the Gutter song. And he goes,
I don't remember the whole song, but I remember parts of it.
He said, Gutter, he goes, poop and pee. And he was telling
Gutter.
Us, ass full of Vaseline, Gutter.
Gutter.
He's built like butter.
Oh, built like butter.
Yeah. Rick Foley, Humankind today. So, CK's telling us that you guys are riding in the car, singing that song over and over and over to Gutter, to the point where he falls asleep because he doesn't want to hear it anymore. And then you fall asleep, wake up, sing the song, and then go back to sleep again. He's like, he's like, Gutter. He goes,
thanks, Jerry, and I will talk to you again down the road. Thanks again for talking to the Ring Crew, and you have a good one.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Hi, this is Border City Wrestling's Haley Rogers, and I was asked to kind of comment on the Ring Crew Radio Show and their one-year anniversary, but for me to comment on the one-year anniversary of the Ring Crew Radio Show, to be honest, they would actually have to exist in my world, and they don't. So I guess happy one-year anniversary, and this is your first anniversary, and let's all pray to God that it's the last.
This is a similar excellence. The technical excellence from a time forgotten. The professor of precision, the Greenwich City Samurai, the Rajah of resilience, the Border City Baron, and the often imitated but never duplicated man with talent on loan from God, Conrad Crimson III. And you are listening to Ring Talk Radio.
Ring
or whatever the hell the name of this program is. I don't know. There's only three of you. So, I mean, Christ.
All right, on the line with us right now is a man who's going to talk about one of everybody's favorite independent wrestlers.
Gutter?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
Everyone knows it's Gutter.
That's me. So we got a special song, actually, and he actually wants to talk about Gutter, because you guys know way more about Gutter than I do. So I'm going to hear some of these stories. Anyway,
ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conrad Kennedy III. So tell the story, you tell it the best, about the night that Gutter had his Ring of Honor trial match.
I'm here to listen to that story and hear the song. Then I'm out of here.
Oh. Oh, boy. A night that will live in infamy. Well, this is, you have to understand, this is back back when people still thought I had talent. But I was wrestling Nigel McGuinness for the Ring of Honor Pure title, and Scott asked, Scott D'Amore asked, you know, could you just see if they need any guys? I said, yeah, sure. So I asked Gabe, and Gabe said, yeah, well, actually we had somebody, I believe it was Eddie Venom, out of all people who no-showed him or canceled or something. So I get all excited. I call Dave, and I'm like, Gutter, you know, Dave, you know, get your stuff, come over here. You know, I got you a dark match for Ring of Honor,
Dave!
You know. It's your big shot. Let's go. And he almost fought me on it. He was like, well, I have to go back to my house and get all my stuff. I'm like, dude, hey, Ring of Honor. I mean, you're always complaining, you know. I mean, come on, you know. I don't know. Dave, come on, Gutter. Come on. I already told him you're here. Come on. Scott's
sounds like
here.
Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Dave. So finally he shows up, and literally... I asked him, I'm like, well, what, you know, what gear are you wearing out there? Because I didn't know if he was going to be actually dressing like, you know, the, I don't know, the gay pirate look that he kind of has been rocking, or the, you know, actual homeless person, ripped jeans or whatnot.
Either way.
And so finally he shows up. I'm not paying attention to his match at all. You know, I mean, I've got my own problems. I got to wrestle Nigel. I'm nervous as hell. That's my second, you know, taping with Ring of Honor, and I'm just, you know, trying to get my head there. And I see Dave going out, and I wish him good luck and everything else. And I heard him talking to Dempsey, who I'm not sure of his first name, but he's the giant fat guy for Ring of Honor. Anyway, I see them talking out their match. I don't see what's going on really, but you know, whatever. Anyway, Dave goes out there. Gutter goes out there. And I see Truth Martini, Jimmy Jacobs, and Zach Gowen all with their heads out, just peeking out to see what's going
Dave.
On. And literally I'm hearing this. I'm hearing, like, a slam and nothing, like just crickets. And finally, I kind of peek outside, and I look right as if on cue, as soon as Dave does his one, is, Dave's like chicken. And I'm just like, that's... Not only is the crowd not buying this whole match that he's having and the gimmick that he's trying to portray, they are angry and insulted that he'd actually try and pass this off at the show. So, I'm not kidding you. I mean, it seemed like they were legitimately mad at him.
Dave!
Like, he owes, like, they're all sitting there, like, their arms folded. Like, afterwards, like, he has to go out and be like, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm really sorry. The chicken thing, no good. I've been trying it. No, stop it. Okay, I will. I'm all apologies. But, so I look at Zach Gowen at one point, and I'm like, what's going on out there? And he just looks at me and goes, like, fucking love Gutter, man. I fucking love Gutter. I'm like, what, you know, what's going on? I hear a huge slam. A pause, a bell ring, well, a freak out, a bell ring, and then complete silence followed by slight choruses of boos. So I look at, you know, I see Dave come back through the curtain, and I'm like, you know, I was like, everything go all right? What the hell happened? I mean, I don't know, man, I don't know. And he just kind of walked off, so I'm like, well, what the hell? So I'm like, you know, I walk up to Truth. I'm like, Truth, I'm like, did you see the match? He's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, well, here's what happened. He goes to pick up Dempsey. He puts him down. Tries to pick him up again, almost has him, and puts him back down. Picks him up again for what I believe is a Michinoku driver.
Dave!
And puts him back down. And then kind of just slams him. Kind of. And I'm like, kind of? What do you mean kind of? He kind of just put him down. And I'm like, well, then what happened? He's like, you want to know what happened? I'm like, yeah. He goes, he pinned him. I'm like, he pinned him?
He pinned him 1, 2, 3. He didn't go for another move. He didn't say, let's try something else. He just pinned him. So I'm like, walked up to him, like, you tried a Michinoku driver, you know, I mean, he's a 350-pound guy, work a leg, work an arm, something. He's like, well, we were practicing it in the back. He's like, I almost got him. I'm like, you almost got him? And what, you think you have a surge of strength being the gym rat that you are, that you're able to heft this mass of humanity over your head, protect him, and put him down on the mat safely, you know, and in his head, he's thinking he has to do a head-dropping move because it's Ring of Honor. And, I mean, granted, if he actually were able to pull off a Michinoku driver on Dempsey, they may have actually kept using him. Game threw a tantrum and, like, a fit, like an actual, like, screaming fit, claiming it was the worst match in Ring of Honor history. I want to reiterate
this.
The worst match in Ring of Honor history.
Ouch.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's nothing like, yeah, well, he really had an off night. It's the worst match in Ring of Honor history. And I guess he's, you know, Gabe's going off. He's like, who the hell is, you know, Scott D'Amore think he is, you know, sending this green bean after, you know, out to the Ring of Honor, and Scott never, you know, worked a day in his life, all this stuff, and Cabana's like, stopped him, and Cabana's like, actually, he's been around for like 10 years.
Oh.
He goes, he's been around, he's like, 10 years? He goes, do you mean to tell me Gunther's been around for 10 years? And
Gunther?
Cabana's like, well, his name's actually Gutter. He goes, no, he doesn't deserve a name, he's Gunther. So, after that, it was pretty much. I actually did a couple more opening shots for Gabe after that. Just, you know, trying to get in his good graces. I actually asked him about it at one point. You know, was it something I did? Did it have anything to do with that? You know, and he still claimed, no, I had nothing to do with the Gutter match. But he didn't say that he would never ever put stock in any of D'Amore's guys again, which pretty much screwed it for all of us. But it was I still don't buy in my
nice
own
piece
estimation
of shit.
I think he pretty much screwed it up for us. It was terrible. About a week or so probably about a month later, actually. But I mean, word was still going around about this thing, and it was the first time I'd seen Gutter in since then, and I talked to him a few times. But we're at XICW in Detroit, and I'm just, just keeping it light. I don't want to bring it up to Dave. I don't want to say anything to him, you know.
Dave!
I know he's got to be feeling bad. So I'm just sitting there talking to him, and all of a sudden, here comes Eddie Venom walking in. He's like, hey, what's up, CK? I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, hey, Michinoku Dave! To Gutter, and just keeps walking. And I almost wet myself laughing, because there was just this horrible, awkward silence, where I have, like, tears forming in my eyes. My bottom lip quivering because I just literally want to burst out into hysterics right now. And Dave kind of slowly eyeing his shoes, contemplating suicide, I believe, at that moment in time. It's never really stopped since then. I fear that he hears this podcast. We may be in some trouble, all of us.
Dave!
Yeah, he might
Don't
wrestle.
Be surprised if
he
wakes
really
up
wants
Cindy
to...
in hand and shotgun in the other.
If he really wanted to, if he really wanted to hurt us, he'd just go out there and have another match.
Oh shit!
Oh, so the famous. So I remember about had to be what was it like a month later? I get that email from you with the song you've written about this situation. Was it a month?
Yes.
When did you?
Yes.
Was it a month after you wrote that song, or was it?
It was actually, well, Shelly and Saban, who take nothing but pleasure, the Motor City Machine Guns, as they're known now, over the years have taken nothing but pleasure in emotionally abusing Gutter at any chance they can. I mean, relentless. It's not nice. It is. If you ever get a chance to ride in a car with Shelly, Saban, and Gutter, oh, God, do whatever you can to be along for that ride and hope it's a long one. Because, it is something else. I
Well, Shelly and Sabin started the original Gutter song, which we all know. I believe it's how's it go? Tell me off here.
It was on the show Gutter. Last week. He goes poop and pee. Yeah, we did that song for Jerry Lynn last week, and he sang along with us.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
He did remember it.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Instead of ass full of Vaseline, he thought it was he smells like gasoline.
The reason probably he hasn't forgotten it is because he was in the car with me, Shelly, Sabin, and Gutter, where Shelly and Sabin sang the song for, I would say, a good 95 minutes straight of the four-hour trip. It was like four-year-old humor, but those two just doing it, stopping, taking a breath, and then Shelly would look at Sabin and be like, second verse, same as the first, got her, and they just keep doing it over and over again. But then I was bored at work one time and composed the Gutter Gimmick Blues.
Which you are going to be debuting here on the Ring Crew Radio Show.
Yep.
For everybody.
I will be. It's possibly my finest work by far. It may be the greatest thing I've ever done. I'm not going to lie. Pro wrestling and otherwise.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the world premiere of Gutter Gimmick Blues by none other than Conrad Kennedy III.
I hear my music playing as the crowd gets all upset, 'cause I ain't had a good match since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Cutter's gimmick and time keeps dragging on. And I say it tastes like chicken, and then I hear the crowd moan. When I was just a training, Scotty told me, son, you best go hit the weight room and stay away from sticky buns. But I got this great idea that I stole from Foley. And now that damn Shelly and Sabin won't stop torturing me. That Gabe is thinking that I was never trained, but what he done knows, they call me Mitchie the Woo Dave. But I should have seen it coming, after all he was 350. Instead I half-assed body slammed him, and now Gabe won't book me or CK3. Free me from this gimmick, if these voices let me be, I'd be a cool chain wrestler, not unlike Alex Shelley. Far from Gutter's gimmick, that's where I want to stay. 'Cause Cindy isn't over, and it will stay that way.
And thus closes the epic Ring Crew, the worst of Celebrity Coaster.
That was pretty solid. I mean, that was definitely the epitome of the Ring Crew laziness, since it was like one question for each interview. We do have the full interviews up on the ringcrew.tk website, as well as the Facebook page.
Yeah, those interviews, and they were kind of clipped like Potter's nuts.
Yeah, it's the ringcrew.tk or the Ring Crew Wrestling Show Facebook group. Like we say, we have the full, uncensored, unedited interviews, as well as tons of crazy segments. We're doing this stuff every week, so slip on over, check us out. It's a lot of fun. It's just four dorks in a basement talking about wrestling, basically.
It's a studio.
All right.
Yes.
Lavish, that is.
We're on floor 51 of the tallest tower in Windsor.
There you go. It's ringcrew.tk. It's the Ring Crew. Boys, we're out of here.
Thanks, assholes.